Oliver Nelson on tenor sax, also later on alto sax, Richard Williams on trumpet, Eric Dolphy on alto sax and bass clarinet, Richard Wyons on piano, George Duvivier on bass, and Roy Haynes, my main man, Roy Haynes on drums. This is from the title track from Nelson's 1960 album, recorded back in the day. I love these old albums because they really are kind of comfort in their own way. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and well, we have a lot to talk about, so let's get started. So what happened yesterday, and which is why we have certain developments today. We know that we had the Democratic primaries in Florida, in Illinois, and Arizona that put Joe Biden in the catbird seat and put Bernie Sanders in something of a quandary. In fact, he's dealing with that full-fledged today. For Biden, the road ahead is clear. He took all three states. And for Bernie Sanders, he now is, quote, assessing what he will do, unquote. He's assessing. And he has to do a lot of assessing because, frankly, it should not have gone this way. Something dramatic went on, and you're going to tell us that, what you think it is or was. But in any event, Biden won big. He took all three states. Some people would say, well, that makes him the presumptive Democratic presidential candidate, bar none. Well, you never know. You never know. And what is it that Bernie is assessing? Obviously, he's assessing whether to stay in the race, do something else, forge new relationships. Is it too late to start a brand new campaign? Or how does he capitalize and strategically use the gains he already has made? But it couldn't have been for him a nice day yesterday, because he was, he's been gaining momentum, and that's what you need in a campaign. You need momentum. But what do you think happened there? How could Trump, basically, he was on the minus side, suddenly, because he's inspiring this race in, as well. He's the Republican presumptive nominee. But Biden, coming from nowhere, as we've discussed, you're given absolutely a new life, a new existence, a new possibility, a new relevance by primarily a group he had not spent very much time in. Not this time around. He hadn't campaigned vigorously in the African American community or the Latino community, but he has been doing very, very well. So let's take a look at that today. And later on, we talk about a related subject, but let's start off here. What happened? And will Sanders, what will Sanders do? That's the question. What will Sanders do now, you think? What should he do? We need to have the question answered. What do you think happened here? 888-874-4888. You're analyzing, you're not going to, you know, basically state an opinion in the sense that you know exactly what happened. We're all conjecturing. We're all trying to figure out what might have happened here. What were the factors that so adversely affected Bernie Sanders when he was looking so strong? He was looking so possible. And we were looking forward to a really strong race. And now we have Sanders losing all three states where he was said to be pretty strong in two at least of them. And Biden has come from behind and served him notice that he's got to do some assessing, as Sanders is now calling it. 888-874-4888. Please make your comments as concisely as possible. Jay, from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and I hope that the listening audience is doing well. It seems like Biden, unfortunately, tragically, has won the so-called nomination. I think that Bernie, from what they're saying on the internet, is seriously thinking about suspending his campaign, which honestly would be a tragedy as far as I'm concerned in regards to not having the voice to articulate things that are needed to push the Democratic Party to.
What do you see as his options now, though? Okay, so you don't like the idea of entertaining him basically bowing out of the race, suspending his race, which is another way of saying he's bowing out. But what other options does he have? What could he do?
That's the thing. I don't think he really has no more options because the persons that I blame for Bernie being in this position, to be honest with you, is the CNNs and the MSNBCs. I think those are the culprits who basically.
But why are you blaming people?
Forward.
People have to be prepared for when you have a national campaign. They're doing what they're doing. It is up to the candidate and his or her campaign to be prepared for it and to counter it. It's not a good thing when your favorite candidate loses. But, you know, don't start blaming people now. Was he supposed to win?
People on the level that MSNBC and CNN has against the message that Bernie was trying to put forward. Even though it's his job to better articulate what has been done to his message by CNN and NBC is not fair. We have to be honest about that, Utrice.
Yeah, but you're taking us off the topic because all the time that he was successful communicating his message, because he had won very impressively before, I didn't hear you complaining.
No. It's not. You would have to complain, and you would have to point out how once those media organizations did certain things, it led to his downfall, because just like with this virus, a certain degree of panic went into play, and Biden was able to increase his vote getting. So there's a whole bunch that goes into play. But as we move forward, I would say this. Are the people now that were with Bernie going to back Biden? I suspect that they won't. And that's the danger in all of this. If the media would have stayed out of it and let it play out the way that it should have, then I think the Bernie people would have went to Biden. But I think, just like with Hillary last time, they're not gonna back Biden. And we're just gonna be in the same fix that we're in for the last couple of years. So I mean,
all
hey,
right. Well,
the bottom
you.
Line is
thank you for getting us started today. Thank you. Bruce from New York, you're on the air. What happened?
Hello, Utrecht.
Hi.
Hi. Utrecht, Bernie Sanders went wrong when he walked into a South Carolina electorate still wedded to the Democratic hierarchy. Yeah? And that is where and at the same time, a lot of things were happening at the same time. I mean, they're not just two forces at work. There were many forces at work. You had the Democratic hierarchy acting in order to get Biden in, all right? You had the South Carolina people giving him a boost that he was not entitled to, okay? And there were other things. But the truth is about Bernie, though. Bernie could only, and what this says to me, is that Bernie could only do well or win when there are a number of forces competing for the nomination, right? As soon as they were able to consolidate the centrist type voters, then that is the failing of Bernie Sanders right there.
Well, how could you say that? How could you be so sure?
Because, I mean, what else can explain it? If he was doing well before, and all of a sudden the hierarchy of the Democratic Party are able to consolidate the centrist-type voters, all right, and Bernie Sanders is left, you know, to fall by the wayside.
Right? No, so but he supposedly had solid support among the millennials, as they call them. He had...
But these are people historically who have not turned out with any regularity or with high numbers, you know? I mean, so it's a fairly tenuous type support, although they may go to rallies and keep noise and you may have a lot of kumbaya and a lot of good feelings about it, right? I mean, the people in charge knew that would not last. And the people in charge knew that once they can consolidate a centrist vote, right? I mean, I heard this guy on TV saying that this is what a party does, this former Clinton acolyte, I can't remember his name now, saying that this is what a party does, right? I mean, I disagree with this, of course, yeah? But it tells me that Bernie Sanders could only win in circumstances like how Trump won, for instance, by getting maybe 30% of a vote with 10 or 12 people competing near to the end. And these are not the circumstances we had here.
Okay. You know, this is going to be changing dramatically, even as we speak. So we have to figure out what is it that they're going to present us as an analysis, and we'll see whether we agree with it as to why it was that Biden took all three states. That is quite an accomplishment. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrecht.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I hope the rest of the PRN family are doing well. You know, we talk about free health care and free education. We already have had that for 40 years. The name of the health care is Gary Null, and the name of the education is the PRN, Progressive Radio Network. So we've had it for 40 years, either on BAI.
Let's be realistic. You're talking about an election.
Right. I just wanted to put that in there quick.
And Bernie Sanders took none of them.
Right. I'm sorry that I went some other direction, right? Just a real quick thing. But just like last time, we had Bernie against Hillary. And then when Hillary got the nomination, Bernie said, I don't want to run against her as an independent because I'll take votes away from her and then Trump will win. So why didn't he just join up with her and then they could have combined their vote supporters together? And in this case now, once again, we have just Biden and Bernie, and they both have their own supporters. So if they were really interested in dethroning the king, Trump, then they would join together forces, and then they would be able to do it. But we can't see past our nose and see come up with something simple like that. So we have to find all these other ways of blaming people for voting for Biden in South Carolina, and now we got something else to blame black people for, that he stopped Bernie from being the candidate. I think it's a disgrace. We're being tricked. This is all to have Trump be the president again for another 4 years. And
what do you think Bernie is likely to do? He's going to have to announce something today. What do you think he's likely to decide?
What he's likely to decide is probably the same thing as last time, that he's just going to not run as an independent because then he'll take votes from Biden. That's if he's planning on dropping out. I heard because of the situation with this virus, he could just stay in there and just ride it out and see if he gets lucky and gets some more support. But seems to me he'll probably just go back to Vermont and eat some more pancakes with the maple syrup on it there.
Jeez. Oh, you guys are so cruel. Thank you for calling in and contributing today. Jose from Rosedale, you're on the air.
Greetings, my professor. Hope all is well with you.
Thank you. I'm hanging in.
Good, good, good. Don't let go. You know, I spoke to you some time ago in the earlys when we had all these Democratic candidates running for the nomination. And I said to you that it was a done deal. The Democratic Party has decided who they want to be their standard bearer. And I think what they were fighting for was to find out who is going to be selected as a VP, right? That was my humble opinion. But now, back to Uncle Bernie. In my humble opinion, I believe wholeheartedly in many of the things that Senator Sanders has proposed, right? Because when you look at what is happening today, you know, we're in for a rough road. And I believe that he is correct in many of the things he has proposed. But I think he should go the distance and go to the convention and have a brokered convention. And he should try to hold on to his group. And if he has to throw his support behind Senator Biden, VP Biden, there are certain things that he should demand. And he should also keep his group, try to hold his group intact so it can be a battering ram, a force against VP Biden if he decides to go outlandish and go all the way, because I know this man can't be trusted. I look at him, I never trusted him a long time ago, and I see him as an establishment candidate, and they're more comfortable, the Democratic Party is more comfortable with a Biden, because Biden will play the game close to the cuff. He's not too far off in his financial, economic thinking and social thinking as Donald Trump. He's not too far off. And so, again, I believe that Senator Sanders should hold on to his people, try to nurture them, hold them up, and try to find a leadership, a younger leader, because I don't think he'll be able to run again in the next election. But hold on to his folk and create a young cadre of leadership and use them as a force in the political system to try and force some kind of detente, some understanding between these scoundrels that are running Washington. But it's just my humble opinion.
What you're suggesting is that not what is expected that he would do, and so create friction and division within the Democratic Party, and in any event, assists or enables Trump to win.
I am not certain of what Senator Saunders will do, because where politics is concerned, I am never surprised at moves that are made before our eyes and behind our backs, because things are always done in the dark, and we are usually the casualty of these decisions. So I am watching to see what he's going to do, and this will determine for me how much confidence I will have in Senator Saunders in moving forward. But I think that's the direction she goes. She hold on to the folks that he has acquired, go to the convention, make his case and make his demands, and keep his group and build upon that and create some young cadre of leadership that is more in thinking with the social justice in this country than what we have going on today.
Well, it's an idea. So we'll see how he reacts to that in the statement that he should soon make as to what he intends to do. Thanks for calling in and contributing. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Beloved.
Hello, Willie.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Thank you.
PRN family. Let me first say this. I respect you, and I honor your shadow. Okay, listen. No, I know what you're going to say. You're going to just take it for granted, but this is what all of the people in your category say. Because
Get me to the subject. What is Bernie Sanders likely to do?
Yotrice, you have done a program on that already. Have you forgotten? You see,
well,
I want
to have the answer. What are you proposing as an answer? What do you think Bernie Sanders is likely to do?
He's going to burn us again. You did a program on it. He's going to burn us. No, set us on fire again. You did a program on burning us. They burn and burn us. It's right there in the archive.
I know. But what do you mean by burn? I mean, in what way is he positioned to burn the Democrats again?
Not only is he dividing the voters, but he'll turn us over to the Democratic, the new voters, to the Democratic Party. You didn't do a program on that. I'm a very good student of yours.
I know I did a program, but that was my opinion. I'm asking for your opinion.
But no, it's not an opinion. It's a fact. That's what happened. Because we are taught to think. That's what you're doing. And PRN, you're not dealing with mainstream America, Utrecht. You're dealing with a different category of people.
Okay, so forecast, if you can, what we are likely to hear from Bernie even as early as the end of the day or maybe tomorrow.
I have no interest in it, but I know we're going to get burned again. This time we're going to get thrown in the fire, set on fire.
Okay. All right. We're going to get burned and thrown into the fire this time.
Yes.
Thank you.
I do my homework.
It is so, so reassuring to talk to you today. Breathing down on us fire and hell and damnation from Bernie Sanders. Okay, we'll see. John, did I say John before? John, did I call you before? John from New Jersey.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Okay, how are you doing?
It's weighing heavy on my heart, this whole situation. As to what Bernie is going to do, I don't know. But I'll tell you what I think you should do. I think you shouldn't quit. I think you shouldn't quit. I think you should go to the very end. Like you said, go to the convention and try to pull it out in the end. As far as him losing in all of these primaries that have gone on, I believe they cheated. These people are cheaters. They have proven it to us time and time again, even when we find out about hanging chads and changing names and dispersing districts and things like that. We let them get away with it. And we have to stop these people from being lying cheaters. That's what they are.
Wait a minute. Why are you making such an emphatic accusation without having any proof? Is it because you so identified, you so supported Bernie Sanders that you wanted him to win? You just knew that he would win because of the feelings that you had about him and the feelings others had about him. But this is how it has turned out. Now, it may go another step where there would be an investigation and people would start asking questions about the impact of the coronavirus on the turnout and so forth. We don't know. But for now, we know this. He lost all three states. And I, like you, I think there's something there that needs to be looked at. I don't think it should just be, well, he lost, let's move on. I think it has to be looked at. What was the reason?
Well, that's why I say he should go to the very end with this thing. The gentleman that spoke before about the hell and burning and hell and all that other stuff, he, I mean, I don't agree. I don't believe in that stuff. What I do believe in is, let me cite an example of cheating. Why, even Hillary Clinton cheated against Bernie.
He wouldn't be allowed to win. That's what they do.
Exactly.
They don't have to use even in front of anybody named Clinton. Even Bill Clinton cheated. Even Hillary Clinton cheated. It's what they do. It's what makes them Clintons. But
you do it, folks.
In your heart of hearts.
In my heart of hearts, I believe that Bernie could be the only savior of this country, because no matter who, if Joe Biden wins,
let's deal with where he is now. He is now assessing. He's now assessing what it is he ought to do. So even he has doubts. What are you hoping that he would do?
What am I hoping? I'm hoping that Bernie stays in it and he turns it around and people come to their senses. And who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what evidence is going to come up between now and the convention? Who knows? I don't know. I know one thing. I know that if Joe Biden wins and he has to go up against Trump, and as far as I'm concerned, if either one of those win, the Republican, the right wing of this country, I want to say strong, right wing of this country is going to be happy, because Joe Biden is in their pocket along with the other turkey who's running the country right now. Other than that, I don't know what else to say. I'm not a praying man, but I'm thinking about going back to church. Let me tell you. Listen, you have a good day, and I'm glad you got a good laugh left.
I'm glad that you still have your sense of humor. Thank you for calling in. Steve from Arizona, you're on the air.
Thank you. What I believe happened is that the perception shifted amongst the central Democrats that Bernie can't beat Trump because of the socialist label attached to him. This happened last time. Despite the fraud at the polls and stuff, what I think he should do is, or what I think he'll do, is perhaps same as last time, but what the strategy I think he should do is point out how Joe Biden is not a Democrat based on his past voting. Also, the Democrats are missing out on their whole strategy on this campaign should be based on the fact that health care is a national security issue. And this is something that
Wait a minute now. You're a little bit ahead of us because that belongs, analysis belongs in the big picture of what went wrong. Right now, we're reacting to the moment, to the reality of the moment that Sanders was trounced by Biden. Now what does he do?
I feel he stays in it, and he should basically attack Joe for his stance of being a Democrat, because he isn't. And Bernie should point out how he is a true Democrat and embrace the progressive label. I'm tired of us kind of towering to the fact that we're letting these fascists take over. It's like, are we going to let this whole thing go in the toilet like it's his, with people buying toilet paper and ammo? This is ridiculous. He needs to say the truth and stand his ground. That's what I think he should do.
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, we'll be discussing this because we are just waiting to hear what it is that he intends to do. That would be a major, major point. All right. I want to switch to another topic for the moment, and that is this incredible idea that Trump thought up all by himself, and that is to open the floodgates again. He thinks it would be a great idea to just give people money as an incentive to have a better attitude, a better outlook on life, have extra money to pay your bills, and be happier. And this, you may recall, was the reason that Andrew Yang, a former presidential candidate, was laughed at and mocked and derided, because he had proposed what he called a universal basic income to all Americans, that the government should assist in the balancing of people's budgets, because there was such a gap between rich and poor. His idea, this was his one of his many ideas as a candidate, that the country at the time, he figured out, the country was in a position to give every adult at least $1,000 a month. And that would be the way the budgets of individuals could be, you know, helped, be balanced. Well, he was derided, he was called a communist, he was called all kinds of things, called a lunatic, called a lot of things. But what do you know? Trump is now the one pushing the idea. And his Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, is saying not only is it a good idea, it's a great idea. And let's start sending the checks out within 2 weeks. What the heck is going on? What do you think of the president suddenly embracing an idea that he had derided? And on top of the expenses associated with the coronavirus and all the aspects of it, which will run now into the trillions of dollars, he is pushing this idea. In fact, he has embraced it almost like it came from his own head. This is what I want to do for the people. They've suffered, and they're suffering too much already. Give them $1,000, everybody. You have no major qualifications to meet. You're getting $1,000 because this should be the role of the state to help stabilize people's lives, to bridge the economic gap. $1,000 a month, we can afford it. We can pay this in perpetuity. And Mnuchin, who he appointed to be Secretary of the Treasury, is saying, not only is it great, I want to get the checks in the mail within a matter of weeks. All right. You've been warned. What do you think is going on here? How did they come up with these brilliant ideas? And how are we to believe that this part of the idea is doable, but other parts of the idea of making life a lot easier for working people and working poor people, not so much? 888-874-4888. Ed from Jamaica, what are your thoughts about this?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yeah, how you doing, you three?
Okay.
You got me, you know what this is. This is what they call in the streets. The initial response of this administration was totally disgraceful. I mean, we couldn't get testing up and running. We didn't have supplies for the impending disaster, which was easily seen throughout the world. And now to sort of like sort of bandage over it, okay, throw everybody $1,000. And Americans have very short memories. And one thing that motivates people, especially in this time of unsure of times and epic danger, is the security of money. So he's going to throw $1,000 at everybody. And, you know, like I said, Americans have short memories. And, oh, maybe Trump wasn't so bad. You know, he did give us $1,000. And discounting all the other epic fails that this administration has perpetrated, initially in this coronavirus and throughout his first term, I mean, it's a money game. It's just a ploy to play with you mentally. But that's what it's for. Hey, I screwed up. Let me cover it up. Here's some ice cream, people. Take it. Here's some bones. Take it.
So Ed, when this check comes in your mail, will you take it?
I'm going to take it. I didn't call me a hypocrite, but I'm going to take their money.
Out the window, most principle and what's right and everything else. It's $1,000. I'll take it.
It's $1,000. Hey, I can't. Hey, listen.
But is this the way, though, considering what we are experiencing as a nation? Mm-hmm. Do you think it is even a decent, for lack of a better term, a decent way to introduce an idea, if in fact he believes this is something that could work, even though he's stealing the idea from Andrew Yang, never gives him credit?
And
wouldn't sincerely say, sorry, I just answered the question. I used the word sincerely. They don't have any sincerity. But what he's trying to achieve, and people really understanding, okay, he's trying something here. This is yet another gimmick he's presenting it as.
Yeah, it's another. He's a con man. He's a hustler, at best, and at worst, he's a criminal. And this is what he's always done. It's the act of diversion. He's an entertainer. He's like a magician. He does sleight of hand.
But isn't this really sad, though? Isn't this even if he sincerely wanted to do this, even if he sincerely thought that Andrew Yang's proposal, it was doable and worthy of investigation with a mindset of trying to enact it. This is not the way a president of a country just flippantly says, I'm thinking of this plan. And Mnuchin backs him up and says, oh, yes, let's get it done within 2 weeks. I want the checks out. Is that how this country is being run?
I mean, no question. This country is being run by a criminal enterprise. I mean, come on. The man is a con man. He's a political novice. He has no political experience. He has no leadership qualities. I mean, when we first entered into this virus situation, We were forewarned. We were forewarned by other countries. We were forewarned by administrators and doctors in this country. And he took no action. And now that he's caught with his pants down, well, what's the best thing I can do? Here's a cookie. And the sad part about it is the majority of American people will buy it. Because all kidding aside, yeah, I could use $1,000, and I'm not going to turn it down. But, you know, I mean, this is not the time to offer something like that. This is not the time to take advantage of the situation.
This is precisely the time you offer it.
Well,
because, as you said, when you opened up, you said people have short memories.
Yes.
People have very short memories. Thanks for calling in. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrees. I just wanted to give a little clarification. Hi. And I wish I had gotten to answer the Bernie question because I was up all night.
Still answer the Bernie question. It's okay.
Well, I want to say I'm so happy. I can't remember the fellow who used the term battering ram, but thank you, because I'm part of the movement, and I would like to see us as a battering ram against the corruption of the DNC and the Democratic Party. And I don't think there's anything far-fetched or crazy about the results and how they were obtained. And I don't think that there was, I think there was, at the very least, even if you don't think that the election itself was stolen, you have to admit the media was completely orchestrated 100% to destroy this man and his candidacy. Even when he won, he wasn't even mentioned at when he would win the states. They would mention Buttigieg.
The question now, Gwen, is I actually
believe he has the money to stay in. So I think that he wants to stay in, but I think that he's got a tremendous amount of pressure from the DNC to get out, because I believe Joe Biden has a habit of capturing and stealing everybody's ideas. That's why he had to step out of the race in the 1980s. Three times he completely plagiarized other people's speeches and gave them at his own. And I want to tell you something. He actually had his wife sounding like she was from a poor family. Well, she was my sister's friend in high school. They were not from a poor family. She wasn't the first thing that ever went to college, and it was a flat-out lie. So Joe Biden is already trying to steal the Green New Deal. He's saying that he's the Green New Deal. He's using the term a movement, join our movement. That's Bernie's term. So I just really hope that Bernie stays in there. And being the kind of fellow that he has been, I wouldn't be surprised if he did stay until the end. But there's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure around him. So I think it's at least up to us to try to put it out there that we support that. If people support
you just anticipated my next question. Will people stand with Bernie if he decides to stay, even though you could expect a barrage of allegations and condemnations of him as being an interloper, a guy who is trying to fracture the unity of the Democratic Party?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I think people are going to stand with him. Because people are, the people that are involved in this campaign, as I said yesterday, have skin in the game. No kidding, skin in the game. When you put money out and you're working stiff and you're putting in $27 a week when you get paid, you know, it sounds like nothing, but at the end of the day, in my own case, it ended up being $800. That's a lot of money for me. And I want him to stay in. I mean, I want my hard-earned money, my intellect that I've used, that my feet that I use to walk and talk, I want him to stay in. Because at this point, we really don't know what's going to happen next. And all we can say is coincidentally, while Bernie's bringing up all these ideas, this is the very time that we absolutely do need Medicare for All. Just right now, just with everything that's unfolding, it just so happens that the platform that he is standing on is the one that we need at this very moment. But now I just want to go over to Andrew Yang for 1 second, because I just wanted to give a point of clarification. Andrew Yang, when he talked about that $1,000 a month, the reason why he spoke about it was because artificial intelligence is about to rain down on every single business, and many, many people are going to become unemployed. I think it's like 70% of the population. So what he was talking about was giving people $1,000 a month to supplement. But in some ways, it's not very good because it doesn't allow you to make as much money as you could if you kept your actual job. So in a way, it's keeping everybody really, really down who just has, you know, regular jobs, and yet the people who have the money that are using the artificial intelligence, now they've consolidated their money even further. And their money is going to go even further to the top. So it's pushing the distance between the working class and the upper class even further apart. So I don't think that's actually what Trump was doing. I think it might sound like it, but to me it sounds like a lot of echoes from Occupy Wall Street when people were saying, you bailed out the banks, but you did not bail out the people. This is how Trump could win on this, by saying, listen, I didn't just bail out the banks, I bailed you out too at the same time. So that could be something that in the end is going to work in his favor. I don't know. But the last thing, going back to the election with Bernie, I believe the Democrats would like Bernie out as soon as possible, because I think that they're feeling that Joe Biden just keeps telling and weaving his story enough that he's going to be able to bring these people that supported Bernie over to his side with a lot of time. So if you give him all the way up to November, he should be able to lie and scheme his way at least into maybe a third of the group, and help him get over any hurdles in going against Trump. But I wouldn't be so sure of that, because like I said yesterday, people that work in this campaign are different than people that work in regular campaigns. Most people are just regular working class people that have taken a big chunk of their time, their money, because they took a ride on this machine, hoping that finally we could land in the White House and we could change the tune. It's deeply disappointing to see that because of the orchestrated media and because of the DNC, then, and most likely because there was cheating, at least the very least voter suppression, that the Democrats have been able to, and also with the virus, let's not forget the virus, that the virus has helped this clarification of making Joe Biden the front runner happen, because they used fear and they used a lot of manipulation. And so, you know, I don't know how many people that are in the Bernie camp will actually vote for Joe Biden at the end of the day. But I hope that he does stay in all the way till the end. He's going to take a lot of bows and arrows, a lot of hits. So I also hope that if he stays in, that people will show up like myself and at the very least get on your social media and write the things down, that your thoughts and your feelings and facts that you know, share them with other people. And the very last thing I want to tell people is that I listened to Guns and Butter this morning with Bonnie Faulkner, and it was an extremely, very informative day about coronavirus. And I would encourage them to go back to WBAI archives for today and listen to this morning's show, because there's a lot of things about the coronavirus that we have not heard yet that her guest was talking about, and I thought it was very enlightening.
Well, thank you. One last question, though. Even if Sanders wanted to stand and fight, let's say, what power does he have to get his way within what will be a very hostile Democratic Party? Are you there?
Gwen hung up.
Oh, Gwen is gone. Well, she'll answer the question another time. We have room for, is it Faith from Brooklyn? Faith?
Hello?
Or Faith?
Oh, Saint.
Faith. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Saint Clair, really. But I'd say Saint for short.
Okay. Well, we have some time, but not much.
Okay, so let me get to the reason why this $1,000 came up to be given to all the Americans. I think when the day before, 2 days before, when Trump came up with $1.7 trillion for the stock market, that made it very clear to most Americans that he's just for the very rich. So somebody must have spoke into his ear and told him, look, you better do something for the people if you want to get reelected. So he came up with this idea, let's give them $1,000, and that he can take that right to the people and say, hey, this is what I did for you as well. And that's going to stick in people's minds more than what happened when he gave $1.7 trillion to the stock market. And to answer Bernie's question, I think Bernie should go to court and have an injunction, because to my best knowledge, I heard that those elections or those primaries in Texas and in California is still under question, because there was one major exit polling company that discovered that the votes that Bernie was given was more than what was reported. And in the other state of California, it was something about voter suppression. So a lot of people in California didn't get a chance to vote. And I think it comes out to about between around 3 million people didn't get a chance to put in their vote for.
You make a very strong point, and I was hoping somebody would raise it, and I'm glad it's you. I think there is a room to question the outcome of several races, and certainly yesterday's a vote, it should invite very close scrutiny and inspection to see whether it was a fair vote. I agree with you there. But I'm afraid we have to leave it there because we're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for contributing.
Right.
And again, I say all the time, I consider it a great pleasure and privilege to be in your midst. Let's meet again tomorrow. Bye-bye.